Sing for joy to the Lord.
Sing for joy to the Lord.
Praise God's name.
For God
is love.
Is love.
Sing for joy to the Lord.
Sing for joy to the Lord.
For God is love.
For God is love.
Well done, choir. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Conroe. I will be your tour guide for today. It's good to see you. Good to see you this morning. Last Sunday was so much fun to see as many, and to see y'all back this morning, it's so much fun. Mary Louise and I've been talking. You know, what is it going to take, and how long do you think it will be before we are really approaching normal? What do you think?
September.
August. I think it's going to be the fall. I really think it's going to be the fall before we are approaching normal, when everybody gets vaccinated and we're back and we can take the yellow tape and the crosses off the seats. But it is good to see you this morning. What is going on in our church family? You see what I mean? Food. Somebody catch me up on food pantry.
Well, I'm going to let you know, Linda, Wade, Perry, Cliff, Hino, we all have living a fabulous community in Conroe, and we have dried rice and beans, and we have 174 bags of rice and 173 bags of beans.
So wow. And let me, and that's the bags that, you're not talking about 100-pound bags.
No,
right? Okay, good.
There you go. 1 pound bag.
Let me put this in perspective for you. If she's got 175 of each, that is enough for a week and a half.
Yeah.
We will give out more than that in 2 weeks of our food pantry. So if you want to start bringing... what is food pantry, somebody? What do you mostly need on a regular basis that you're not getting?
Beans and rice.
Beans and rice. Just bags.
Bags.
Okay, let's do that. Let's fill this place up. What else do we need to talk? We had our first church committee meeting in a year and a half. Yeah, that would be almost over a year and a half. And it was our Ron.
Yes.
Ron chairs that group. Give just a quick deal of what, can you give a 45 second of what's going on?
Right. It was for the campus operations maintenance, and it was basically future. It could be a new roof, all the way from the new roof to getting a door fixed and everything in between. And some of the things that we've done previously, we just had a lot of repairs out at the Tot Lock. This is over this last weekend.
Yep.
And it's just things like that to keep this thing operational. And it was nice to meet with a bunch of people that said, hey, yeah, they just got to wait for the money.
There were...
We've got in our
Fearless Giving... fund, we've got enough to do a lot of this work that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, you have to understand that these structures are over 40 years old.
Yeah.
And so, age does creep in, as some of us do know. And so it was nice to meet with some people to actually, get a grip on what's going on around here. So, but I appreciate everybody's support. Amazing.
Yeah. I tell you, during this part, let's go ahead. What we didn't do last week, since it was Easter Sunday, is Happy Great Day. So for those of you who don't know what that is, if at any time during, what month are we in?
April.
If any time during April you have an anniversary or a birthday that you would like to share, You don't have to share your age unless you want to. Any birthdays or anniversaries over here in April? Birthdays, anniversaries, April. Wow! Ron.
Yeah, my birthday was last Sunday, but Amy told me it wasn't the right time to announce that.
Yeah. No, it's always time. And I won't say how old you are, but I know you're younger than me.
Well, yeah, 58.
Yeah. Any birthdays or anniversaries? Okay, it's yes, Jane.
Sandy,
I'm sorry. Sandy and Joe.
Our anniversary, 42.
42 years. Sandy and Joe Bain anniversary. Anyone? Well, let's stand and sing. Let's stand as we worship together.
Kathy Costas, and I just wanted to say welcome to everybody. It's really good to see lots of people back. If you will join me this morning in the call to worship and the invocation. God anointed Jesus to console the afflicted.
Come, let us worship Christ our wonder.
God anointed Jesus to emancipate the enslaved.
Come, let us worship Christ our liberator.
God anointed Jesus to bind up the wounded. God anointed Jesus to deliver the troubled.
Come, let us worship Christ our Savior.
Loving God, open our eyes to see what is beautiful,
our minds to know what is true, and our hearts to love what is good. For Jesus' sake.
It's at this time in our worship as we prepare for a time of prayer together to share those concerns that we have. We obviously need to keep all of our first responders, all who help to keep us safe, all of the medical personnel that are attempting to cope with this season of pandemic. Also, we always keep our women and men in uniform in our prayers. I will let you know our grandson Alex is in Afghanistan right now and is preparing to be deployed. We don't know where. So I would ask you to keep Alex in your prayers. Who else do we need to keep in our prayers this day? Marilyn.
Ruth Brown and Misty
Head.
My brother James.
Brother James.
The family of Patty, she's been on the prayer list, but God finally took her home and put her out of her misery. So prayers for their people.
Patty's family in their time of grief.
Sister Jan with pancreatic cancer.
Glenn's sister Jan with pancreatic cancer. You bet. Prayers for Dave. For Jordan.
Peggy Schneider and Jennifer Killer.
Yes, Peggy and Jennifer. Mark.
Judy and Sarah.
Judy and Sarah. And who? And Alice. Judy, Alice, and Sarah. Bob.
Our friend Heather Reese is suffering from cancer of the mouth.
Gary, who is dealing with cancer. Friend Robin, as she helps to save her cousin's life.
Sister
with stroke. Her first name?
Virginia.
Anyone else? Donna.
Marilyn.
May God be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. O God, Thou art from everlasting to everlasting. We come together this day to praise Your name, to share our joys and griefs with each other and with You, O God, to lift up Your name in worship. We ask Your blessing on this time of worship that it might be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, we have lifted up to You those of whom we are aware, who are in need of Your healing touch, Your care. Lord, we pray this day that we might come closer to understanding Your will for our lives. We pray this day that You will give us the strength and the vision to act upon those prayers. O Lord, You have been so good to us. Please forgive us for those times when we fall far short. We ask that You be with us as we continue in worship, and we pray these in the prayers of our deepest heart. In the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
It's gift-giving time. We bring our gifts each week or when we can, and we place them before God. I would encourage you to do that. There are offering plates in the narthex, or you can go online. We bring our gifts to God in response to God first giving to us. God gives us life. God gives us the opportunity to be with each other in worship and during the week in times of joy and times of sorrow. God feels our pain when we are hurting, and that is a gift to us, the empathy of God. This table represents a very personal gift that we have been given. Jesus was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He celebrated it in an upper room with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them, bringing new meaning to that ancient meal. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup. This was the cup of the Passover, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant, and that new covenant would be sealed with his sacrifice. Those gifts of God are what keep us together, what keep us alive, what keep us hopeful. He told us, "This do in remembrance of me." Oh God, may this holy meal be a blessing to our lives, and our lives be a blessing to your service. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. That was beautiful. We're so blessed. This morning's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
Richard, that was awesome. Man, that's a pretty song. Thanks, Kathy. For a split second there, I thought I was going to have to ask Mary Louise to go hunt for my glasses. When this passage took place, it had only been a little over a week when Jesus had ridden into town in victory on the back of a donkey. When the people shouted, "Hosanna, save us, we beseech thee." The very next day they would be saying, "Give us Barabbas." Jesus was caught in the garden by guards and taken and crucified on a cross, which was a particular sort of punishment reserved for the very worst of criminals. Mary went to tend to the body of Jesus, and he wasn't there. He appeared before her, and she didn't recognize him until he said her name. So now it's the evening, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week. They were together. The disciples were together and they were afraid. What were they afraid of? For fear of the Jews. They were afraid because they did not practice the same sort of religion that the Jews practice, and they were afraid that they would be associated with this Jesus whom they crucified, and they would be either put to death or endure some terrible punishment. They were afraid of religious persecution. I'm so glad that we as a we as a world have gotten over that sort of fear and that sort of persecution, aren't you? I take it that's an ironic laugh, not a ha-ha laugh. There is still so much religious persecution in this world. Christians are persecuted by others. Christians persecute others. Even Peter had tried to hide and cover his own tracks by denying that he even knew Jesus. He didn't want to get persecuted. They were hiding in fear of the Jews. Religious persecution, as we just sort of admitted, is as old as religion itself. You know, in a sermon recently, I told you the very first things that were built when people stopped being hunters and gatherers, the very first thing they built was a what? A temple, a place to worship. And to tell the truth, at one time or another in history, both Christians and Jews have been both the object and the instigator of religious persecution. The terrible actions of the 30s, the imprisonment, and the killing of millions of people because of how they believed. So both Christians and Jews have been guilty of that kind of persecution, but as have Muslims, as have Hindus, as have Buddhists, and even the Taoists, I think. Religion has massive power. Massive power. It has the power to heal and to hurt. History's taught us this. Why is that, do you think? As usual, I never ask rhetorical questions. Why do you think that is? Why is religion so open to both the very best that humanity has to offer and the very worst that humanity has to offer? Why is that? I've got a blank line in my sermon wanting that question answered. Do you have an answer? Okay, our beliefs are so deeply ingrained in us. Anyone else? I think that's part of it. I think part of it is just our fear of the other. Our fear of the other. As soon as we quit being hunter-gatherers as human beings, back perhaps as long as 70,000 years ago, as soon as we did that, we started what? Dividing into tribes. And that tribalism, today's equivalent might be our national identity. We divide into nations, or even more closely, we have so much division in our country today into even closer identities, our job, our skin color, our state. How we worship is still a way that we are separated from each other. So, Thomas doubted. Listen to this. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it is certainty. It is madness. You can tell you have created God in your own image when it turns out that he or she hates all the same people that you hate. Whoa. That's by Anne Lamott. She is still an author today. And that just struck me. It is so true, isn't it? Religious hatred has the awful power to destroy. Religious love has the awesome power to heal and to create. So the disciples had the doors closed because they were afraid. Closed and locked in one place, we are told. But all of a sudden, Jesus was standing there. And he told them, what were his first words to them? You remember? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. He knew their hearts were anything but peaceful, and that did not take divine knowledge to know. Peace be with you. Let this passage be a warning and a promise to all of us. Once you let this Jesus in, he simply won't leave you alone. That has been true in my life. When I was in the very throes of alcohol addiction some 35 years ago, it was this faith that I had learned that allowed me to see through to the end. Some of you have fought similar battles. And my prayer for you is that if you're fighting a battle like that or another battle now that you just simply don't see the end of, allow that faith, that childlike faith, to inform you. Jesus told them that if they forgave sins, they would be forgiven, and if they retained sins, they would be retained. He was sort of commissioning them right there, wasn't he? Wasn't that sort of like a ministerial commission? Whatever you say in my name will be done, and if you don't say it, who in this room today counts themselves a minister of Christ Jesus? Raise your hands. All of you are. All of you are. The only difference between, you know, Glenn and Michael and Bill and me and we are awash in ministers in this place. I love it. I don't have to worry about being out a week because I can call one of six or seven people in the ministry that are worshiping here to come. In fact, any of y'all want to finish this up for me? But the only difference between those of us I named and you is not that we're ministers and you're not. It's just that we had the the good fortune or bad fortune to spend 3 years of our adulthood in seminary. Or four. Okay, I spent four. Okay, five at the outside. It was really four and a half, but... But we are all ministers and we are all commissioned by Jesus, who in this passage we are told they were sent out in His name. When you leave this place today, you go out in His name. Now, I don't expect you to buttonhole the first person you come to and pin them against the wall and said, "Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?" What is expected is that Jesus' life, death, resurrection lives in you And you represent that to everyone you meet. Everyone you meet. And I'll catch you up with me. It is slowly making me a better driver. I hardly ever yell at traffic anymore. It's taken 42 years of the ministry for that Jesus to sink into me that way. We are to be, in Paul's words, ambassadors of Christ. But there was one disciple who was not present that day. Who was it? Thomas. Right. For God so loved the world. You know, that's really all there is, isn't it? Thomas was not there that day. Poor Thomas has been tagged forever as what? Yeah, doubting Thomas. Question. Are those things that you believe, even in your faith stance, if you doubt, if you have doubts there, is that a sin? This is a trick question, isn't it? Is it a sin to doubt your faith stance? No, it isn't. Because your faith stance envelops everything you believe about how God relates with you and the world, right? And I'm hoping that we all grow in our faith stance and we put aside some of those beliefs that might have been a part of our faith growing up that are no longer. For instance, when I was an adolescent in Lubbock and went to church, it was there were all men preaching. And I was told, I didn't go a lot, but when I went with my cousins and my friends to both a Methodist and a Baptist church, it was all men preaching. I thought, well, only men can preach. That was part of my thing. And one of the ministers said, that's what it says in the Bible. So I thought, okay, I'm good with that. As a teenager. Well, I learned later when I hit seminary in my early 20s, and this was the time of the burgeoning women's movement. You remember now the National Organization for Women. There were hardly any women in seminary the year before I got there. The year I got there, there were 30 women in my seminary class. And they were insistent that they would be counted ever much as valuable in ministry as their male counterparts. And they were. In fact, one of them, I was this kind of redneck guy from Lubbock, and they took me on as a project, and they enrolled me, they signed me up as a member of the National Organization for Women, and to this day, I think I'm still a member. But sometimes we must question. It is a really tricky question, though, isn't it? Is doubting our faith legitimate? Well, listen to this from a philosopher. And I studied this guy undergraduate school. Has anybody heard of Descartes? It looks like it's Descartes. Well, it's Descartes. And he's one of the premier thinkers of this day that he was in, which was several hundred years ago. If you are to be a real seeker after truth, it is necessary that at least once in your life you doubt as far as possible all things. What that means to me is that you don't take anything just on surface as it is. The only thing I would advise you to take on surface as it is that God loves you. Now listen to this from another theologian. This is a guy I did study in seminary. His name is Paul Tillich. I dare anyone to read his systematic theology all the way through. I couldn't. But this stuck out. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is simply one element of faith. How do you move to new understandings? Sometimes you have to doubt what you've been told or what you believed in the past. Are doubts to be avoided at all costs? No. You remember the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz, and he gets before Oz, the mighty, great, and terrible, and he has his tail in his hands, and he's cringing, and he's saying with all his might, "Oh, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe." Our faith is not like that. Fear is not a good reason for faith. If your faith is based in fear, it might be time for some faithful doubting. If your main motivation, you're afraid of what God would do to you if you don't believe such and such, it might be time for you to reconsider some things of your faith. Having doubt does not have to lead you away from faith. Thomas had his doubts resolved all at once, didn't he? You know, not doubting Thomas, lucky Thomas to have been able to be there. I had serious doubts about my faith once. My faith at one time early in my life was mostly grounded in fear. It was kind of like in Lubbock, you know, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do. It was that sort of faith. I was afraid that God was going to get me if I did the wrong thing. God's going to get you if you don't watch out. That fear-based religion simply didn't work for me. And Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are you. You have seen and you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And my friends, those people are we. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of praise and of invitation as we stand and sing together. "Oh, Christ arose." It is. This is still Easter time. peace and grace and mercy and love. May that love from God abide in your hearts both now and forever. And may you take that love into the world with you. Amen.